while we were watching Coffin Match, and like Sting and Malakai like had just disappeared. So I mean, they just like had gone, and we were looking around like, where are they? Where'd they go? And Anna was like, they're talking, an intimacy of elders. And I was like,
wow.
I said, Anna, that's unhinged. Welcome to Tunnel Talk, a No Facts, All Feelings wrestling podcast. I'm Allie.
I'm Ann.
And I'm Leah.
And we had a big week in wrestling. Kind of a lot of stuff happened. Before we get into any of that, we're just going to do a little podcast housekeeping. I am not going to be on the podcast for the next three weeks. I don't know. I'm going on vacation.
Allie's going to Australia for 3 weeks, like a loser.
Hey, I'm going to be having fun.
Hesitate. You hesitated just enough in that I think like people are going to be like, oh my God, is she not going to be on the podcast anymore?
We're just working you out.
Stirring up drama.
Will she return? When's she going to be cleared from injury?
I regret to announce that I've been forcibly ousted from the podcast.
If I had to announce my own, who did this happen with recently that I was just like, oh my God, it could be something horrible. So I can't get it. But I will be gone. You guys have some plans cooked up for various guest hostings, et cetera, that I'll allow you to explain.
Yeah. So week one, I will be hosting. And my friend Sarah will be guest hosting.
Legendary friend Sarah.
Yeah.
That's going to be great. I'm very excited to listen to that.
She's also pretty excited. I think it's going to go pretty well. We hope. We'll see, I guess. And then we're going to take a week off, an in-between week.
And then the third week, so the one like right before the All Out pay-per-view, my brother Chris Browder, who's been on, I interviewed on this podcast a long time ago, and his wife Robin, my sister-in-law, are going to be in town visiting, so they're going to be my guests for the week that I'm hosting. So it'll be tons of fun. And Chris is a longtime wrestling fan, and Robin is a conscript who has had to watch a certain amount of wrestling for living in the same house as him, but is not a fan. So it'll be fun.
I love that. I think that is going to bring... And didn't you say that Robin is a reality TV fan?
Yeah, big... Well, they both are actually reality TV fans, but yes. But they had a confluence went during the Total Divas, Total Bellas era, where they were like, yeah, that was a real golden age for our interests because they could all watch the wrestling reality shows. So it was good stuff.
Well, I think that they're going to be able to bring... like. Wrestling does have something to learn from reality TV still. Yeah. So I think they're going to be able to bring a couple of really interesting perspectives. And I'm so excited to hear what you guys get up to. And then I will be back right after All Out. And we remain unsure about what wrestling I will have seen and how informed I'll be about what's going on. So, you know, kind of watch
the space.
That'll
be exciting. Yeah.
For everyone. Interesting. But I did see some wrestling live and in person this week. I was at Quake by the Lake and with known friends of the pod, Josh and Anna, my great friends and old roommates. This was their first AEW event and at least Anna's first wrestling event. I don't know about Josh because he did used to watch growing up. So I'll be sharing some of their takes throughout the night. They had a very good time, as did I. With a few small exceptions, like a few little glitches in the track of the evening. And let's get to those right away. Okay, so let's start out tonight by talking about everything that was going on with our interim champ and champion of my heart, John Moxley.
There's no interim in my heart, I'll tell you that much.
He's the real deal to me. So really quickly, Mox did fight a new, I think, unsigned man on Rampage. This was Mance Warner. We don't really need to discuss. This match was whatever. I would just like to get a little vibe check and a rating on the new man.
I would like to give him...
Yeah,
sorry, go ahead. For it.
No, you go ahead.
I would like to give him a 1.75 and say that he looks like a spirit Halloween Briscoe.
Wow. I agree. Yeah. I did think his outfit was like, it was kind of ill-fitting in a way that did make you think like that whole thing came in a plastic package and is only meant to be worn once. You'll never see it again.
Yes. I did not care for this man. I would probably give him a zero. I felt like all the screaming, the calling yourself a Southern psycho, the American flag around the neck, is just like, I don't know. These days, like a mild white supremacist vibe isn't that fun for me, but that's a mean thing to say about him. I'm sure he's a nice man, but
no.
Yeah.
But it's the same thing that we did say when we got introduced to the concept of the Briscoes and like looked them up and saw a thing or two that they had done. And we were just like, you know, sometimes it is just a vibe situation and you don't like the energy that you're getting. And it might be a perfectly nice man, but then why is he giving me that energy? He should rethink it.
Yeah. Right. It doesn't make me feel confident. So, yeah.
No. But I think the men seem to have fun, so...
He seems very popular on this whole internet of ours, so... Yeah.
Do you guys want to talk any at all about the discourse of Mance getting a little, a big match right away?
I don't know that it was, like, a huge thing, but I saw, like, a couple people talking about, like, oh, it's crazy that he got, like... He got a shot at Mox right away. And then, like, other people were like, that's what AEW used to do all the time. That's how we got Eddie, because he had that open challenge. He did that open challenge with Cody. I don't know. It didn't really bother me that he got a shot at Mox. It just bothered me that he sucked.
I just wanted to... Yeah. I want to love every person, every new person I see. Mm-hmm. But I don't.
It's all about the vibes.
I don't always.
Yeah. And I think sometimes lately, like, Rampage just feels like... another whole universe. It's like there's new people constantly that like aren't very integrated. I'll probably say more about this later when there are more egregious examples, but sometimes it just feels like, wow, we have so many men in this company already and we keep jamming more in here.
Like Tony's like, there's room for all in the wrestling clown car. We can get another clown in here.
I think we're maybe at the point where we need a strict one in, one out policy here, Tony, but you know.
Well, Tony disagrees.
He sure does, yeah. Nothing will stop him. Yeah.
Okay, let's set Mance aside. I really can't say that name without being like, that's not appropriate. It's not an appropriate name for a grown adult. His name is Mance. Okay. On Dynamite, Mox then had his match against Jericho. So Jericho was doing his Lionheart TM gimmick. I don't understand anything about this gimmick, except I think he was trapped in someone's sex dungeon. Is that correct? Is that what happened way
classic
back when?
Wrestler Stu Hart's sex dungeon.
The last survivor of Stu Hart's dungeon.
Yeah. I did actually look this up briefly before the podcast. I read the Wikipedia article on it. Yeah, it's just Stu Hart, who's, you know, Bret and Owen Hart's father. He ran a wrestling school that was like in the basement of his mansion and it had really low ceilings and they just started calling it the dungeon, I guess. So, and he was apparently a very sadistic trainer, as Chris Jericho said. So like... I don't know. But it was weird that he said he was the last survivor of Stu Hart's dungeon, because Wikipedia did say that Christian and Edge both were trained there. So I don't know what survivor means.
They don't see themselves as having survived the experience. They're like, I left a lot of me behind in that dungeon. The man you see is not the man from before I went down into the dungeon.
Yeah, you know.
That must be it.
I do love when a Canadian is named Stu, as all Canadians are. My Canadian grandpa was named Stuart Stu. So,
did he have a dungeon?
Not to my knowledge.
Might not have told you about it.
Yeah, he probably would have shared it with you.
We didn't have a family dungeon anyway, like this one was, apparently.
So. I don't want to hear the term family dungeon again on this podcast. Unless, no, I don't. What were you guys' expectations going into the match? Like, who do you think was going to win? What do you think the deal was going to be, you know?
I didn't think that Mox was going to lose. But I did, like, there were so many false finishes. I kept remembering that, like, 2 or 3 weeks ago, Bleacher Report just had this aside that was like, the interim title really doesn't matter. So it wouldn't be wild if they gave it to Chris Jericho, because that way, you know, Punk could take it off him. It wouldn't really matter. And I just kept thinking about being that and being like, oh, I can't deal with that right now.
Can't onboard that at this time. No. Yeah, I like didn't think that Mox would lose either, but then the false finishes did get me like several times. I also like expected this match to be pretty
boring, but actually I really enjoyed it. So yeah, that was a surprise.
I had a really
honestly
good time.
Thought it slapped.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that like in person, so I saw, and you said in your notes something about like they went to commercial during one of those long Chris Jericho had Moxley locked up. Mm-hmm. So we didn't, obviously you don't have that when you're there in person. And I was thinking about like some things you really lose when you're there in person, because I need the commentary for a lot of stuff actually. So there are plenty of things were happening all night that I was just like, I don't know, I guess I'll find out later. But this is an instance where it's like the tension was so high in that moment. And it really got Anna too. And like, we both were just like gripping each other's knees, like, no, they're going to get him.
Yeah. That moment was crazy. Cause like they really got me in that lockup. And so to the point where I was like, oh, is like Jericho about to win? And then Excalibur was like, wow, this is so intense. And we'll keep with it in picture. I was like, wow, that really diffuses the tension that I had at that moment. Like, yeah, I guess he's not going to win right now.
Yeah, I agree with you. But then like, the picture in picture kept stretching. And I was like, he's still in it. And so I was actually watching, which I've never once in my life watched during a picture in picture. Yeah. And so then they came back and he was still like, I don't think he had gotten out. I think he got out of it right when they came back. But so they did it. Like, I was like, is that how he taps? Because he's going to be in it for so long.
Just for 20 straight minutes. Yeah. Wild.
It's very funny. I think that the I guess I was reading the Cage Side Seats guy again, who I just can't stop. I can't stop reading it. I have a real like, it's just kind of a hate relationship with him now, but I can't stop. I think he said, he was like, and I really got into Jericho and I was in the mood to boo Moxley. And I was like, you have a fucking problem. You have a problem in your brain. If your reaction to this was not that you became so, like, I'm already a big Moxley fan, and I was just like, that is the strongest, best man in the world. No one can beat him. He will never tap. He will never say, like, die. He's going to make it. Like, I was losing my mind.
Yeah. Yeah. It was real good.
Jericho ripped his earring out. I heard that got, like, quite a little treatment from commentary.
They really talked it up the whole match, I would say. So
when the camera like lovingly lingered on like Chris Jericho holding it, and Excalibur was like, wow.
And it was funny too, because like he was holding it, but it like didn't really have blood on it or anything. Like it just looked like literally like one of the earrings I always wear. Like just, I don't know.
It was an extremely easy earring to rip out too. Yeah, like it was not like a closed hoop that he just like.
No, because it was just a little clip guy, right? Yeah. I loved. Yep. We did have the camera, and I like was Chris Jericho was just going around like, is anybody going to compliment me on this beautiful earring? He's like showing it to everybody. He's like, have some of you like not even seen that I got this beautiful earring off of Mox?
It was like the clasp. I did think it was like, oh yeah, you don't have a lot of women in the audience that you're like, oh, look at this brutal thing that I pulled out. Not that no men wear earrings, but you know, just
statistically more women. Statistically, that's fair to say. Yeah. Can someone explain what happened with Sammy Guevara? I did kind of miss it, or I don't remember it. I don't know. I had a lot of drinks actually.
This was such fucking comedy that I was just yelling. So Sammy's like, I think he was in the crowd, right? He was in the front row. He has the baseball bat. Yeah, he has the baseball bat. All he has to do is toss the baseball bat from where he was standing into the ring. I don't know what the fuck kind of frisbee throw he did. He overshoots. It goes past the ring onto the other side and hits the floor. Jericho has to crawl out of the ring, go get the bat, come back into the ring to use it. It was... And, like, the whole time, like, me and Sarah were just going, Sammy, you're so fucking stupid. You're so useless. Sammy, you can't do shit. I love that.
Oh, my God. Classic.
That is very Sammy, though, I feel like, where he's just like, yeah, I'll just, like, do it, like, extra much, and that'll be better. And it's like, no, doing things, like, the right amount is kind of what's right.
And he did, the camera did cut to him, and he did have a little face on where he was like, oopsies.
One's on me, guys. Oh yeah, I was gonna say that Josh is a big Bengals fan, so he really liked this, and he was getting a little Houday chant going. He and Anna were both like really like, yes, we'll get that, like people are Houdaying. So that wasn't something.
Is Josh from Cincinnati or
No, I don't really remember the genesis of. I'm worried Josh is going to listen now and be like, she doesn't even know why I love the Bengals. I does love the Bengals.
Was that when Mox was like, the belt was forged in Cincinnati? Was that when it happened?
No, it was when he was coming out, but they did both really enjoy the belt was forged in Cincinnati, as did I. it was not intimidating. And I loved that he was like, this is my belt, the FYI belt. That he didn't explain that. I was like, the four-year information belt? I love it. I'm not, like, opposed to it. It doesn't make sense. It's not a thing.
Oh my god.
He can say anything and I'll just be like, that's my baby, and I'm really proud.
It's crazy how interesting I always find him, even when he is making zero sense and telling zero stories. Just having a great time out there. I don't know.
You know, the story is just like man's animal nature. It's just like a man who's like absolutely tapped into his own primal needs and instincts.
Yeah.
And good for him. He won. Mox won.
Yeah.
And afterwards, that's I was really when, keeping.
Yeah, that's when Kenny's music hit.
Okay. Kenny came out, right? I was really like, I did tell Josh and Anna, I was like trying to fill him in on some stuff. And I was like, I want to see Kenny. It could be anybody. Someone big is coming. I'm like 99% sure. It could be MJF. It could be Punk. It could be Kenny. I'm like praying. But as we reached the end and I was like, okay, the timing is such that like something is still going to happen. It can't just be the same old, because everyone in JAS and BCC was flooding out. Yeah. I mean, it was like every person backstage basically.
Yeah. Those factions have, they're getting like black hole trajectory, yeah. You know, like absolutely. You just get sucked in, you can't get out.
You're either in or you're out. And, I had reached the point though where I was like, it can't be Kenny because there's no tie. There's no tie-in. So it was Punk. So it was, hey, guys, it was CM Punk. He's back.
It was Punk. He is
back. Crowd did really pop. Pretty big. They really like the guy. Hey, he's actually a really popular wrestler.
Is he popular?
People were like pretty excited to see him. And Anna and Josh were both like, yeah, we know who that guy is. Like, they're like, oh, hell, it's CM Punk. And I literally was just screaming like, I've never been more monkeys. Like, I'm just being like, cut it out. Don't do this to me.
It was like so directly the opposite of what you wanted and Kenny that it was just unfortunately very funny to me, even though I was like furious to see him. But it was just like, this is the funniest thing that's ever happened.
To me as well. I went fully limp. Like I was just like, yeah this is what would happen. This is exactly what would happen. And here it is happening.
Talked about the Kenizzants for months hoping it would come.
And he didn't. It's like, it was especially funny because it's not like, I mean, not that he was ever going to like say anything really, but just that most of his appearance was just him like going around being like, it is me, CM. Hey, guys, CM Punk.
Classic
him?
Little CM Punk. I'll just strut around here while you cheer appearance.
Yeah. So he and Mox did a little kissing pose. Mox, who had been on one with the middle fingers, flipped him off really hotly. I mean, I'll say that. Like, I'm like covering up. I'm blurring one side of the kissing pose. When I think about Mox, yeah, I'm like really happy. I loved that. Like he looked great. And then he just like left with the belt and left all of us with the impression that soon they will fight for the belt.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't, what do you think will happen? Hey, what do you think is going to happen?
I think we're going to be angry.
No, I think Mox is definitely going to win it. CM Punk will have no reign.
I would. Oh. I mean, I feel like Tony has zagged me quite a few times recently. So I'm like, please zag me again.
Oh, I'd love to be zagged. Yeah. You know what would be a great surprise? Just like the surprise of it not being Kenny and being Punk. Like, give me another one.
Yeah. Please, sir. May I have some more? I do think it's most likely. So the impression seems to be that like probably they'll fight it all out. I didn't see this as much, but I did when I watched back some clips. People were saying they were like Punk is still kind of favoring the foot.
He did. He was, when he was coming down the ramp, he was definitely limping.
Do you think that was a shoot or a work?
Could be either one. Like, could I mean, be. If they're like baking their hopes on whatever's left. Like whatever time's left that he'll be ready by then, because All Out is still 3 weeks away. So
Yeah.
Maybe they're banking on it, but, or it could be a work. Like,
yeah.
It all, who could know?
We don't know anything. We know that this is happening to us. We know that, that something is happening to us. The man is
very
back.
Clear.
Mm-hmm. And the man is back.
And I'm also at a certain point where, like, I don't enjoy, like, hate watching wrestling. And I am, like, I think that match is going to be good. Like, I haven't forgiven him, and I'm not going to want him to kiss anybody. Let's be clear about that. But I am, like...
That's a really good place to start. That's what I want to... Yes.
I don't want him to kiss anybody.
You're about to say something that's... Are we in a mental headspace for someone that could hurt us?
I think I'm going to enjoy him fighting Mox.
I think I'll enjoy the fight. I won't enjoy watching Mox lose to him because I have such an aggressive energy now where I'm like, why will no one acknowledge that he is on a path to being bad? Why will no one acknowledge this? And why will no one beat his head in about it? Mm-hmm. And that's really difficult for me until, like, assuming it does, until that starts to come out more, the second, like, the vibe starts to be like, oh yeah, he's on a path to heel turn, my heart will soften. It will. I'll be ready to watch. But the problem for me is that I'm just like, I know it's long, you know, it could be long-term storytelling.
Yeah.
But I don't see why other people don't see it.
It is like the situation of when, like, there's someone in your office or, like, in a group and you really hate them. You think they're really bad and, like, they, like, do bad things, but, like, no one else seems to, like, ever acknowledge it, and you go crazy inside your own head, like, circling, like, but they're bad and why won't... Yeah. And then the second you finally shit talk them with somebody and you're like, oh, we all agree they're bad. Okay, great. That's fine. I don't need to, like...
Yeah, and then you're just, like,
get so worked up
again. Yeah, exactly. So... I don't know. We'll see what happens. I don't think we can get into it any deeper now. And actually, we might circle back to a little more of it later. So let's briefly check in. We better cruise through this, actually, on the Battle of the Belts. So we had our special extra hour of wrestling on Saturday with three belt matches. No belts changed hands, and no plot lines were advanced. Are you with me on that?
Absolutely nothing of interest happened the whole night. Yeah. It was pretty wild, actually, when you're going to have a special event called Battle of the Belts. And the last one was really similar, too, where it's like, I guess the belt did change hands, like Sammy got it, but it was just like, wow, this was nothing.
It does sort of feel like somebody at some point made Tony do these special, like, add these into the contract. And he was like, yeah, I'll definitely figure out what to do with them by the time one comes around. But then every time he's like shocked, he's like, fuck, it's that time of year again?
On Saturday? I got to book it for Saturday?
I'm just going to turn anything in. C's get degrees. It's fine.
I do feel like he's overstretched. Like, he needs to delegate, like, Rampage and the women's booking, and then I think things would go a little smoother.
I don't really know. I don't really know what goes on backstage, so I don't know what would make things go smoother. I do feel like, to me, I don't know that I think that it's, like, about being overstretched as a booker, but, like, he just doesn't seem to have integrated those into his idea of, like, how plot lines work. Like, he doesn't have them in his mental database as, like, yeah, something should happen in that event that is additive to people's experience of... Yeah. Like, what they're watching. So maybe that it is being overstretched. I don't know. But it feels like really specifically, like, he's just like, oh, right. And then my extra show. And it's like, Tony, if you're going to make me watch something extra, I really need there to be something happening that I can point to that's like, yeah, and I did need to see that. Of course, I had to see that.
The vibe is very much like, it's on Saturday. No one's going to watch. It needs to lift out. So, like, we'll just throw some crap in there.
Well, no one did watch. So.
Well, because nothing happened. So, really. Self-fulfilling prophecy.
Did the chicken lay the egg or did the egg hatch the chicken? Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We don't know. We'll just quickly go through these three matches. So, we had Claudio fighting Takeshita, and he won. They all won. I won't say it. So, he retained the ROH belt. Did we ever give Takeshita a new man rating? Have I forgotten
think
we
that? Did.
I think he got lost in the NJPW shuffle.
Yeah, I think so.
Because we were seeing so many new men. Do you guys have a little rating for him?
I love him. I would give him a solid 9. I think he's so cute.
He's so sweet.
He's so sweet. He's so cute. I love to watch him. I don't want him to kiss anybody, and I don't know really what he's doing. But his whole cinnamon bun thing, like the stuff on Twitter. Come on, I'm really happy. I love to see him.
He has an angelic visage.
Oh my God.
Yeah, for sure. I also think he's very cute and sweet, although I'm probably more like a 6.5 or a 7. Like, I like him, but, you know.
Yeah. We did see, I don't know if it aired or if it was on Rampage or if it was Dark. We saw a Takeshita match. I don't know who it was against. I really don't know. We did see him, and the crowd popped so big for him, and he looked aww, so sweet coming out, just like, I'm just a sweet boy. So I agree. He can have a 9 for me. He can have a Kyle O'Reilly 9 from me.
Wow. Kyle O'Reilly levels.
It's very different types of love, but
obviously, you love a rat differently than you love a sweet boy.
Absolutely. You don't touch the rat with a bare hand. And that's the main difference.
That's the main difference. Yeah. The sweet boy though, barehanded.
I would shake Takeshita's hand all above board, barehanded, but for Kyle, I'd be wearing work gloves. I think this has all been fine. I wouldn't worry about it.
No.
It was fine. Okay, moving on. Jamie Hayter fought Thunder Rosa for the belt. She retained the Thunder Rosa retained the belt. This was one, I think Britt was interfering throughout. She kind of over interfered and distracted Jamie. And Thunder Rosa managed to pin her. This was my thing. I was wondering if you guys know. So Cage Side Seats, my beloved enemy, they implied that they were like, so this is probably all in service of more like Britt Thunder Rosa stuff. And I thought my interpretation of that was that like surely Jamie Hayter will be mad about it. So it's in service of like a Britt Jamie Hayter split. Am I wrong about this? Did commentary say something I missed?
I don't remember anything on commentary. I think it could go either way. Like if AEW is smart that it would be a Britt Jamie like beginning of the end sort of thing, but we've also seen Britt fuck over Jamie enough times, and Jamie rolls her eyes about it and then just seems to like forget about it. So I don't know. I mean, it could go like when could is the time way. Yeah
I hope they're not like gearing up for another huge Britt Thunder Rosa thing, because
I need to see a new Matt, and I love Britt. Yeah. I love mm-hmm. Britt. I'm not tired of her, but you gotta shake it up for me. Yeah. And this one, you've actually put in a bit of work, and it has been running for a long time, and it might be time to start plant some other plants and let them grow, but maybe mm-hmm. harvest this one and give us a treat, you know?
Yeah.
Right. Yep.
What'd you guys think of the new costumes from Britt and Jamie?
I was having a strong reaction, and I couldn't tell if it was strongly positive or strongly negative. I think maybe negative, but maybe positive. I don't know.
I mean, in the notes, you called it Cody Americana, which is very, very funny. The only thing that I will say is, and I'm so sorry.
AmeriCody. Go on. That one's on me. I should have sat with it for another minute. AmeriCody, continue.
Jamie Hayter ass. Mm. Mm. So like it's the nude gear mm-hmm. is cut so high, mm. and yeah. she has mm. very very white skin. Mm. And
yeah. Okay, I don't know where we're going anymore.
I don't know where we're going at all, and I'm a little nervous.
Like, I thought I like really understood it, but now I'm worried.
It does a lot of hand gestures.
I was trying to do a Kyle, like, you know how we're like, when Kyle's pale thighs like are like.
to me, they pale, are in a category. You
know, we got to cut this.
No, say it.
Producer Marjorie,
you got to say it.
Leah, speak. Speak on it. Say it.
I like the butt.
That was just, all we were saying.
In my head, I just realized that I twilighted. Say what it is. The butt. Yeah, the butt. And I want to say, we can say it. It's for us. It's for women.
That's right.
Back yeah. off, men. This legally, one's for us.
I legally don't think that men should be allowed to look at Jamie.
No, I agree. If those they perverts, were giving out like blindfolds, the men have to put on.
Respectfully, they all have to just turn around. Like, they can listen to the commentary. They can't look. Honor system.
I just think it's for us, and I think you're right to say it. White butt. I'm so sorry. I came out much worse. I don't know. It was based on what Rhea said and about how pale it was. It's Kyle O'Reilly thigh butt. Pale Kyle O'Reilly thigh white butt. Is this okay?
It's like fine? You're taking something real attractive and then wrapping it in a Kyle O'Reilly pale thigh.
Okay. Oh, pause. Kyle O'Reilly is really attractive.
All right. Well, let's not go that far.
I've gone there. I've gone all the way there. Can't take him to the beach, but I'd take him anywhere else.
Anywhere else?
Literally.
But not
anywhere.
Barehanded.
My rabid pet rat, Kyle O'Reilly.
No beach. Work gloves.
Beautifully
but anywhere
pale.
Else with the work gloves.
I'd take him pretty much anywhere. except for countries that wouldn't let him in. Because of the rabies.
I was like, doesn't Alberta not allow rats?
Alberta's not a country.
Producer Barbara, can you just roll this whole thing back?
I do honestly think, like, basically the past 10 minutes, we said a few too many things. And that is on us. Okay, finally, Wardlow fought Jay Lethal and retained the TNT belt. Don't have to read any of this. I will read. Manolo has pizzazz, says, it makes me laugh while also thirsty for more action. I can't deal with it. Post-match, the rest of the Ring of Honor crew, is Sutnam Singh, Sanjay Dutt, and Jay Lethal was already there. They came out and they had a whole thing. Wardlow tried to powerbomb Sutnam Singh, but instead Sutnam Singh chokeslammed him. That was funny. That was funny to see when man can't get powerbombed too big.
The powerbomb position is always funny because they just grab someone's head and shove it right in their crotch and then they kind of hold it there for a while. But like this man was so big that the way he got bent in half was like his little butt was kind of sticking up. It was like trying to fold. Yeah. Like if you see a pro basketball player in an airplane seat, kind of was the vibe. Like knees everywhere. Yeah.
That's exactly correct. The powerbomb position, I have to say it, I'm sure we've said it before, it is the least believable violent position in wrestling because of how clearly the man to be bombed has to like grab on and basically be like, I'm ready. Do it. Time to bomb me. Like it's all part of the spectacle. I'm not saying stop powerbombing. Of course I'm not. I love to watch it. But it is inherently comedic that, like, you just see it so clearly. The artifice is so clear in the powerbomb. We're here to work together.
Maybe this is where I should admit that some wrestling moves, like, they're so collaborative that I'm not always sure who's supposed to be getting hurt and who's the attacker. To be honest with you.
You are right to say it. You are very right to say it.
Sometimes I'm like, wow, they did a great job at that, you know, whatever, DDT. And I'm not sure who was attacking and who was defending. And that's fine.
And sometimes I do know who was attacking, but I think you got hurt worse, though. Like, that definitely was worse for you. This strategically, in a real fight, I wouldn't do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Strategically, a lot of this I don't think would work in a real fight.
You can't. I'm just thinking about Arrested Development where the theater men are pretending to be in a gang for one of the
the hot cops.
That's pretty much wrestling.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Don't try this at home. Not because you'll hurt yourself. I mean, you will, but you also won't win a fight.
True. You'll hurt yourself and you'll lose. So
you'll beat yourself in the fight. Okay, let's move into the real meat of the situation. Okay, so the same ROH crew, the three men, they come back on Dynamite. They're demanding a second title shot for Jay Lethal. Wardlow came out, and then FTR joined him to back him up. Now, I saw this live, so I didn't have any commentary, like, telling me how to feel about this. I knew how I felt. Didn't want to see it. And I'm not afraid to say it on this podcast. I'm sorry to be negative tonight. I'm having a great time. I loved my week in wrestling. I love wrestling. But I do, unfortunately, now, because Wardlow is so associated, like, he loves associating with FTR, I have turned on him. I have now turned on Wardlow, like almost fully, actually. So yeah. I'm so sorry. He is.
I'm way a good down, like halfway the there for sure. Like, unfortunately, my hatred of FDR has really crystallized lately, and yeah, this recreating the Pinnacle thing, I'm not thrilled about. I wouldn't be thrilled about regardless.
Remember when that was like going around as a concept, and we were like, if they do that, but I think it could easily happen.
Yeah.
Because Wardlow and FTR are like really stroking each other off these days.
Yeah.
Like nonstop.
I don't love it.
I know.
Anyway, but I didn't have commentary to guide me. So I knew like, I don't really want to see FTR. This isn't for me, but I appreciate that it's for some. But I thought in my head, because I have two brain cells that I rub together periodically, I thought these are three men and we're about to have a trios tournament. And FTR said, like, we're on Twitter being like, Punk, do trios with us. Let's get those trios belts. So I said, okay, Punk's not ready to fight. He hadn't come out yet at this point. So they'll be in the trios tournament. I put it together. They're not in the they're not in the trios tournament. What is that about, do you think? It's
absolutely bananas, especially considering who is in the trios tournament, which there are some real, what's happening here. Yeah, really weird to have those three team up because, I mean, it just seems like a very natural trio to put in the trios tournament.
I guess maybe they want to keep some trios for the to challenge the first winner so we don't immediately return to the pool of the tournament. Does that seem possible?
Oh,
possible.
Maybe.
For sure.
That sounds possible.
Anything's
I love
possible.
When Tony makes me show the work for him. That's my favorite thing. So I'm going to try and talk us through the trios bracket. This is pretty much the rest of the, this is the rest of the show. So if you don't like trios, get out of here. and I try to structure this in a way that'll make sense. So we'll see how it goes. I kind of feel like I'm leading us into a labyrinth. Okay, let's start with the thing that we care most about, that did almost make me sob in my seat. We got to see this backstage promo on the big screens. Dark Order, Hangman, and the Bucks. So the Bucks brought Brandon back to cut this promo, and they were being like, Brandon, we really want to get this on camera. Come on.
They're like, this is our promposal, Brandon. It needs to be on camera.
These are happy memories, Brandon. We're going to want these later. And the Bucks apologized to Hangman for their behaviors of the past few years. Mm-hmm. This is all via mouthpiece.
Extensively.
Beautiful, beautiful mouthpiece, Matt Jackson. And he speaks. He speaks for both of them. Okay. He speaks for both of them.
To describe him as beautiful mouthpiece is funny.
I'm doing okay.
White butt.
Fuck. Roll it back. Roll it all back. It sounds like it's like a cut of meat. I wish I hadn't said it. Okay. So they apologize. They say they think like maybe they are bad guys. Everyone else always saying it. Maybe they are bad guys. Maybe they let fame go to their heads. But when they're around Hangman, he brings out the good in them. And they said, will you be our trio's tag partner? We can do this thing one last time. I was like, shut up. One last time. Shut up. You have years left in your beautiful bodies. Don't say stuff like that to me.
If Sting can do it, they can do it.
Sting looks better every week. Yeah.
You can stay here and wrestle for me. Oh, God.
Get Sting in there praying for you or whatever he's doing backstage.
Okay. But Hangman said no. And he said that, this was a very like adult apology and like way to receive an apology where it's like his vibe was very much like, yeah, that all happened. And he said, but Dark Order. Oh, I forgot that Matt also was like, I wanted to congratulate you when you won. But
I was so proud of you.
And then Hangman just was like, but you didn't. And they did. Like, it was one of the, like, it was so adult. And it was just, like, one of those things where, like, when Hangman gave his apology, like, way back, like, right before he gave the belt. And he, like, he did a genuine, like, I was bad. I shouldn't have done those things. And in that moment, they didn't absolve him. Like, they didn't say, like, I don't think they said anything back to him. And then
they just kind of took it in,
Yeah. And then this time they made their genuine apology and he didn't absolve them. And it's just very adult to be like, yeah, you hurt me and I hurt you. And everything was bad, but it happened.
You, you cannot heal the wounds of the past. You can't rewrite the past. You can maybe write a new future.
It felt very like if you've ever like fallen out of touch with a friend and then someone, I've had someone like get back in touch and want, but it, like people just aren't where you left them, you know? You like Hangman's been with the Dark Order since then. And yeah, but I thought it was so sweet of Hangman. I mean, it was like so sad for him to say no, but also like for him to be like, I'll be in the Dark Order's corner was very sweet. Like my friend Jeff was texting me and he was really happy that they like acknowledged how important the Dark Order was for Hangman, which I did think was nice.
Yeah. I did really like that. I did think it was very sweet. I thought that Hangman's face journeys were iconic. Yeah. That he should be winning daytime Emmys. Mm-hmm. I mean, nighttime, it's on at night, so he can win a normal Emmy. Actually,
I mean, it's kind of more daytime Emmy quality, I think. But it was good. I liked it a lot.
He could have been at Shakespeare in the Park with this. For me, if I were at the park in summer watching it, I would have been happy.
Yeah, exactly.
One thing I will, a point I will raise. So on BTE this week, BT ended with Hangman clearly contemplating all these things that happened in the past and going and knocking on somebody's door, and we didn't see who. Do you think it was the Bucks?
No.
So who do you think it was?
Don't know. And I can't wait. I can't wait to find out.
I hope we find out, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think... the way in which Hangman approached the door doesn't vibe with the way Matt approached him then. You know what I mean? So, like I don't think that they... If what happened
like
on
it wasn't
BTE
was
chronologically before this apology, then I don't think it adds up for it to be the Bucks.
Okay. Interesting.
I can see that, because he knocked pretty confidently, you're thinking. Yeah.
Yeah, and, like he was outreaching, like... Last night, he sort of seemed surprised to see them and, like, not sure what was coming, you know?
I didn't read it that way.
Did you?
I mean, I'm not making an argument that he did knock at the Bucks door. I honestly don't know. I think I'm kind of raising the point because I'm like, I think it's interesting that we had that tease, but then this moment where, like, the Bucks were really like, come film this. Like, they were, which would be not, it's none of this is, like, not in character if he didn't already knock on their door or whatever. But I just thought it was interesting. And I think that the Elite like to zag you and they like to have like stuff going, they like to kind of do something slightly different than you thought they were going to do. So I just want it on the record that if it turns out that they did something, I don't know.
Well, it is.
It could have happened.
Yeah. It is interesting that like Hangman's not wrestling in the trios tournament. He's, just in their corner. So like they could zag at the last minute to, pull him around.
Can I just walk us back for 1 second? Because what Allie just called dibs on is that she wants it on the record that if it
something else could happen,
anything else happened, that she was right.
No. That's not what I mean. I mean, like if. I mean, like, if it turns out that they're, like, in on something. Yeah, I know that sounds crazy, but I'm just, like, I just was, like, really on high alert. Like, where I was, like, what? How is Matt Jackson trying to get me this time? You're not going to get me that easy, Matt Jackson. Okay, but if anything happens, yeah, I call it. But I also thought, okay, I actually can't get into it. It's, like, not really safe for me. But, yeah, I just screamed and cried. I was, like, and I didn't think that the Minneapolis, I feel like people are not, do you think like people are like really feeling this storyline in the right way? Or do you think it's getting weird reactions?
It's getting weird reactions. Our crowd is very, very into it. So I do think there's like a bubble.
Yeah.
But Marty and Sarah do not like it.
Really?
And, yeah. And Colette from Fan Fight, like they were, the commentary when Hangman came out to rescue the Bucks, commentary said, this is the reunion that everybody's been clamoring for. And Colette, who I respect a lot and usually really enjoy her opinions, retweeted it and was like, who the hell has been clamoring for this? And I was like,
everyone
me!
We know. Everyone we know.
I think we're in a Bucks bubble.
Yeah, a Bucksle. Yeah, I agree. But that is like really, it's really crazy to me because I think I don't really understand like what people do want from the Bucks. If not this.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't really either. Like, I know Marty and Sarah were saying that they think they're kind of like phoning it in, basically. But yeah, I don't know.
That's really interesting to me where it's like, I don't know, but I am like a rom-com soap opera. You know what it's like? It's like, I love watching a CW show. To me, this is like, there are aspects of like a CW show where it's like the same core characters who are like hashing out more and more adult versions of the same problems over time because they are like for a long time just reckoning with the same truths of their nature and like hoping to eventually like kind of come out on top of themselves. And that's what I like. I get that that's not what everybody enjoys. So,
but I know, I mean, like, to me though, like having in wrestling, like get like these extensive, like apologies and people actually like remembering, you know, like hurts of the past and stuff. It's like, I wish every storyline was having like a little more emotional content like this, you know?
Matt Hardy's doing it.
He is
apologizing quite a bit. Yeah.
He's doing a lot of apologizing.
He definitely has been apologizing quite a bit. Okay. Well, I think we got to press on. I love it. I'm interested. I think the Bucks are generally are pretty good at reading the room, and they have a lot of things that they could do to continue to develop this and like get people on side. So it'll just be interesting to see how it keeps shaking out, because I thought the crowd response was underwhelming in a way where I was like, this is everything like to me, where I'm like, it's complicated. It's not an easy answer. Like, it opens up like more stuff to happen in a complex way between these characters that I love to watch. I'm horny for it. I am horny for it. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. So the Bucks are in the tournament, but Jesus Christ, there's so much stuff in this tournament. Okay. So on their side of the bracket in the first round, the Bucks are now in the tournament with a mystery opponent, tweeting, being like, we need a friend. We need an opponent. We need somebody on our team.
They were so forlorn at the end. I was like, man, who are they going to ask? Like, they only have Brandon. They're pretty out. Dark.
Well, it'd be a big win for Brandon.
I want it to be Brandon so bad.
It'd be very funny.
There's a non-zero chance, I think. And they are scheduled to fight Andrade and Rouge. And then on the other corner of that side, Death Triangle is scheduled to fight Will Ospreay and Aussie Open. So does this impact what you think is going to happen with the Bucks mystery third trios man partner?
It's real trickler. Interesting because like Kenny and Will Ospreay have been talking shit on each other all around every internet interview they can do. So Will Ospreay, I was not expecting to be in this tournament.
No,
it,
no, yeah. I was shrieking. I was shrieking when I saw his name. Yeah, I think it means that the next round is going to be the Young Bucks versus Will Ospreay and Aussie Open. So that it has to mean that Kenny's coming back. And something's going to happen during that match that makes Will Ospreay be Kenny's first real feud. It's got to happen.
Yeah, I thought this was, I mean, the thing is, it's such a clear thing to do that now as I said, I'm like, I'm really second guessing a lot of stuff. And I'm like, is it too clear? Yeah. Is it too clear? Because Kenny is clearly loves making you think something's going to happen. And then he's a little magician boy. He's a magic boy. So, I do think it would make a ton of sense because like, it's like, Kenny's going to come back. Kenny can't be a heel when he comes back. I don't think he can be. No.
I don't think he can be either.
And no, I think,
but Will Ospreay would make him a baby face.
Absolutely. Yeah. Because Will Ospreay, easily. We may be the only people who like Will Ospreay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, in the interviews I have watched, it was kind of interesting because I was like, oh, I see why people hate him because he's real noxious in interviews. So, like, doing a great job of being a heel. Like, ooh, with a unpleasant seeming man. Yeah.
You just shake his hand with a glove. That's a wrap.
That's all you got to do. Yeah.
That's a wrap, baby. You can take him into any country where it's allowed.
Any country. Alberta, anywhere.
I don't think so. God. At the border of Alberta, they'll find it.
No rats here.
So, I do think that would make a lot of sense, but I also think, like, Kenny's a real long-term thinker. It wouldn't be like that surprising to me if he like wasn't going to move into, if he wasn't going to actually fight Will Ospreay that soon. So I do not know. The other options are obviously like Hangman could somehow end up joining the Bucks after all, which would be, again, I would get credit for that as a zag. And Brandon the Stooge could be rewarded, for he probably has been more loyal than anybody to the Young Bucks.
He's never turned his back on them, and they've given him a lot of reasons to.
There was a time when we thought he was going to unionize with himself, but he never did. He is still fully subjugated. So I don't know. Let's briefly touch on the other teams on that side of the bracket. So we actually saw the Lucha Brothers fight Rush and Andrade on Dynamite. In a match that I thought was fine, Anna thought that Rush had the most interesting body, like best, like she loved it the most.
Really?
Of anybody she saw all night. Yeah.
Anybody she saw all night.
I didn't get a reaction like that for anybody else. And what she said, which I loved because she felt it really strongly. She said, look, it, his butt is flat, but he still is. And she couldn't quite find the word. And I said, juicy, like on top. She was like, yeah. So, I loved
that. You know, one thing I love about wrestling is you really get to see a wide variety of bodies, and you get to find out who reacts to which, you know, old timey body, flat butt, juicy top body.
I learn
you know.
Things about myself every time I see a body. Every time.
This is borderline mean, but every time Rush is on TV, Sarah will just quietly from her chair go, back knee.
It's really rough to be a wrestler. I mean, you really have to go out there and like, whatever condition
very visible
you're in.
I unfortunately am coming to really dislike Rush, and I can't even tell you why. It's just like, I don't know, something about he needs to groom his facial hair better, or I don't even know what it is.
I don't hate him, but I don't feel anything. Do you think that any of those men are going to be making it to the end of the tournament?
No.
No.
Not to the end, no.
Do you think they're going to get to the semifinals? Do you think there's any world in which we'd watch? And I think Will Ospreay and Aussie Open can't show up to just be in the first round of a tournament unless.
No, surely not.
And if they do, you take credit for that.
Absolutely, I would. Yeah, I'm gonna be reaping. I'm not even gonna be here to take credit for the things I was right about.
No, I think I'm gonna do a little bit probably where I'm like, shit. And Allie was wrong.
Say I was right. Just say I was right.
Well, a thing happened on Dynamite, so Allie was right.
That's what I want to hear. That's what I'll be tuning in to hear on this podcast for the next few weeks. I agree. I don't think they're gonna make. I don't think they have a chance in hell. If we, but I, you know, it's. The Bucks are on their babyface journey. I don't know. I think they have to win and go further into the tournament. But also, I do think that like they might have to do something to get public sentiment on their side a little more.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm on their side. Those are my precious.
Are you?
Boys. Did you know that about me? I love my boys, but I'm like. Do you guys need to eat dirt a little? Like, I don't know.
Oh, probably. Like, maybe they need to lose to Will Ospreay.
I don't know.
Yeah. It would probably help with public opinion.
Or not even make it to Will Ospreay. I don't know. I mean, I don't want to see this, but I'm just trying to think like a, you know, carny.
Yeah, it would kind of make sense, especially if they do end up like with Brandon or someone random who they don't, you know, like aren't quite having chemistry with or on the same page with. You could do a little storyline like that if you
they're learning, you know, a lesson put in about a little, like, you know, sometimes it's good to have friends. Better to have friends than not.
Better to have friends than to win.
I can't read Leah's face. Like, I feel like she's maybe like, eviscerating me in her mind. I just like, want to be clear.
Idiots.
I want to see them win, but I'm worried about my son's like not getting along with the other kids at school. I'm worried about it. I'm worried about them being bullied.
And Leah says nothing.
She's like, it's fine if they're bullied. What are you thinking?
We bully bully the other children into liking the Bucks. It's fine. It's fine. We'll try. We will do something. I don't know.
We'll do something? This is how you don't, like, this is we're missing a point of critical intervention here, potentially. Like, this could impact their whole lives. They might not get into college if we don't do the right thing here. You know? Yeah. I don't know what's happening in Leah's mind right now. She's not happy, I don't think. I think she's unhappy. Should we move on, Leah? Is that what you want? You said don't say any more about that? Okay. Let's look at the other side of the bracket. So Dark Order is scheduled to fight House of Black. I saw so many people being like, House of Black certainly will win this.
Under normal circumstances, yes, but with the setup.
Well, they certainly will win the whole thing.
The whole thing?
Oh, the whole thing.
That's wild.
Like a lot of people. I was like, that's interesting.
I think they're the number two contender, but I don't think they certainly are going to win. I think
they're number two. Okay. Oh, because of
after who?
Because of the.
I think best friends. She's a truther.
She's a truther. Come on.
Yeah.
So they're. You think they're number two?
Yeah, I think. House of Black.
I think it's because of the assessment of who's had belts recently, who needs belt, who people are clamoring for belt. Get a belt on him. He looks so cute in a belt.
Does House of Black have fans?
Yeah, tons on Twitter that I just saw being like, of course they'll win. We love House of Black. They love them. They love those
Malachi
guys.
Malachi Black is very, very over.
He's very popular and he almost
broke
his back.
For them to win
the
belt, though, they'd have to like interact with other teams.
They're going to in the tournament and they're going to fight other teams.
I know. Maybe one round,
though. Do you know about tournaments? No, just House of Black. They don't do anything. They just stay in the dark, the three of them, and like talk nonsense.
We're
about to talk about what they've been doing. I think that the energy of this pod is really good.
Oh, yeah. Stellar.
Everyone is going to agree. Okay, let's talk about what House of Black did do on Dynamite. So Darby had his coffin match against Brody King. Anna was very excited for this. I was so glad she got to see it. I did miss the first 2 minutes because we were trying to get a drink before the show started, but then it started and I was like, you got to get in there. And I got the drinks and I had to chug like some wine for them to let me buy these drinks. That's part of what was happening with me. But, so I missed the part where Darby came out with his thumbtacked skateboard and drew first blood, I believe. But, this was really bloody. It was really bloody.
It started so fast. It was like minute one. And I think he must have cut himself a little deeper than he meant to, because it was just like, there were like puddles of blood in the first 5 minutes. It was just like, it's 8 p.m. Like, I barely sat down.
Yeah. I couldn't believe they opened with it. And I was kind of like, I get that like Tony's like, we got to get him in the first minutes. But I was like, Tony, please I need to build up to my coffin match. This is exciting for me. Like, it's not healthy for my brain to get the treat at the beginning. Like, you've got to make me wait for it.
Yeah.
And that's not how he feels at this moment. So, yeah, but then we got a little lights out moment. House of Black came out. Darby got beaten up by everybody. She loves. And we were all being like, where's Sting? Sting's got to come out. Sting was in the coffin. I thought this was fun.
I thought it was so funny. I got such a big kick out of that.
Yeah. He got a pop.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Everyone loved it. Sting and Malachi. Sting beat some people up at the bat, obviously. And then Sting and Malachi had a little showdown where Sting, I believe, tossed Malachi his bat to be like, you can use the bat if you want to fight me. And Malachi was like, no, I won't, and left. Sting has goo eye.
Yeah, sure does.
Crazy.
The man has a bad case of goo eye.
Because they're starting to get a little
face paint.
A little pandemic of goo eye going on.
Makes you think about whether they should be doing as much fluid bonding as they do. Stop fluiding or bonding. Don't bond anymore. Bonding is off limits backstage. Stay in your lane. What do you think is? Well, actually, no. Okay. So pause. Okay. So Darby won. Perfectly timed little choke out.
Unbelievable.
This was very impressive. Brody King just fell right in the coffin and then the lid just closed right on him. Yeah. Just perfect.
Absolutely. Like the choreography was just like chef's kiss, especially because AEW often fumbles that. You know what I mean? Like,
They set well, and to get up, like the lid to fall at the right moment and stuff, like on live TV, like that's the kind of thing that where normally AEW wouldn't happen, and then Darby would have to run over and slam it shut. Yeah,
and I also think it was skill that Brody managed to look like he had been choked out and naturally went limp and passed out, but turned his body just enough, like. I mean, we've seen it so many times where we're like, oh, you threw yourself in that dumpster, my friend. Little Austin Gunn. Yeah, you threw yourself in that dumpster.
Popped yourself on in there.
Yeah, it was impressive work from Brody King. I was into it.
it looked good. It was the recurring, you know, he choked Darby out that way twice. So then Darby choked him out that way. That's how literature works, you know. Pretty straightforward stuff.
Just enjoyable. A classic literature Jane Austen double choke out. Yeah.
Classically enjoyable. We also got a Miro promo about his goo situation where he said, "Don't touch me. I have a wife. And I'm going to use my goo eye to destroy the House of Black." I thought this was very powerful. You can destroy the master's house with the master's tool. Ghouls.
I loved it. Miro's been doing these insane promos by himself for like so long, and it's just, they never cease to delight me. It's incredible. And so funny also that he is so committed to having a wife that Julia Hart, even in the same frame with him, is just, it's too much. Actually, Instagram showed me a little thing where I guess it was from him and Renee's interview, but which I like don't follow on Instagram, but Instagram loves to show you only things you don't follow. So, but it was like an interview where back in WWE, I guess he was in a kayfabe relationship with someone else and his wife was also in a kayfabe relationship with a different dude. And then they got engaged like secretly, but it got leaked to TMZ. And then Vince was super mad and like pulled all their storylines. And Miro was like, "It's just TMZ. It's not anything." And Vince was like, "No, that's like CNN. It all got canceled.
Okay, well, that's extremely funny. I'm so sorry that we're running late, but there's nothing I can do about it because we have to talk about this. So yeah. That's my fault. It was a juicy week.
It was juicy.
It's fine.
Yeah.
So anyway, they're going to fight House of Black. House of Black is going to fight Dark Order. I think House of Black may win, probably, but Dark Order, you never know. Anything could happen.
I mean, the thing is that, like, I can't see them doing a Dark Order Best Friends semifinal because, like that just doesn't seem like a goofy Tony. Yeah, it doesn't seem like a Tonyism. But at the same time, like, if Hangman's in the Dark Order's corner, like, them going out in the first round is, I don't know. I just keep going back and forth in my brain.
If they go out in the first round, if you do something, so now you can have foursomes. Because there are four of them. If Kenny did come back, this is all like, it's like none of this could happen. None of this is going to happen. I'm calling.
You're calling dibs on.
Anything could happen, and also nothing is going to happen. But if Kenny does come back and he's with the Bucks and there are trios and Dark Order gets out in the first round, so Hangman doesn't have to be in their corner anymore, and Dark Order is like, "You can go be with them," and he goes and they're a foursome, that would be a power move. It would be, I think it would shake things up. I think people would be interested. So that's just something. It's like they set up this Freebird situation for a reason, you would think. Maybe just to be nice to Dark Order. But I kind of was like, "Oh, that's interesting. The Kenny Hangman Bucks, that's four men." It makes you think. It just makes you think. Ever thought?
Can't say that I have, actually.
My co-hosts are like, "Not a day. I won't be responding to
it." Hard to know
we
what
don't
to say
like
to that,
her but anymore. We're glad she's leaving the country. Okay. I'll never come back. And the last first round match of this tournament is Best Friends versus Trust Busters, a team that we have never met before this week. We have met Arya Daivari, whose trust has funded the team. He is a Minnesota boy. They tried to recruit OC this week. They were turned down. OC and Arya will fight this week on Rampage. I did see this. Unfortunately, can't discuss it here. Why is this team in the tournament?
This is wild. It's wild when FTR and Wardlobe are not. Well, it's crazy too, because like if you just need some jobbers for Best Friends to beat, like the company
wingmen
is full of
exactly
wingmen. I was completely thinking of. There's just like there's jobbers all over the place in this clown car. We don't need to get more of them.
I think I wouldn't care if they were fighting another team, but I'm like, my sons have to, they always have to fight the new guys.
Yeah.
They're so good at it. And clearly it's like, Tony is like, "Yeah, you're great at like soft launching people, basically." And then I get them in a real feud.
They're the kids. Principal Tony Khan in the high school is like, "These guys will show you around. Like, they'll be nice to the new kid. Show them where the lockers are."
It's crazy.
All right. Sarah's 12-year-old nephew was visiting, and so he was watching. We were watching Dynamite together, and I kept calling them the Dust Busters, and he kept getting so mad at me. And he was like, "It's the Dust Busters." And I was like, "Yeah, the Dust Busters."
He says, "And I continued to bully that child.
I taunted him. I worked him out. 11-year-old.
Nothing like trolling a child. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think I feel pretty confident that OC and Best Friends will beat the Dustbusters. That's just it's a personal.
You're
going
to go out on a limb with that one? Well, you're going to call dibs on it?
I'm not going to call dibs on it.
Tony could zag you.
Well, yeah. I'm not going to commit to it. I think, sure. Will I be like Allie. Really upset? Will I be really upset if they like don't beat the Dustbusters? Yeah, I'm going to be fucking mad as hell. Like really mad. So I think they should beat the Dustbusters. I guess that's what I'll say. I think sure, they should yeah. beat the Dustbusters. Yeah. Does that answer your question? Was there a question? I don't know.
I guess the question kind of came down to, I guess, are you a coward? And you said yes, resoundingly.
I'm not going to tell you anything that I saw, okay? But I'm telling you that I saw things that are impacting my thought process.
Oh, no.
So that's all. And that's all I'll say about that.
Feel unsafe.
Yeah.
You should. Well, I don't know if you should feel. Maybe you should feel very safe and maybe you should feel unsafe. I'm not sure based on what I saw that I won't say.
She didn't see anything.
I saw the match, and not this match, but I saw the preliminary match.
What's cracking me up about this is that, like, me and Anne don't know what you're talking about, but the people listening to this will know what they talking about by the time they hear it.
And I don't know that they'll even understand what I'm saying, because without explaining what if I explained what happened, you would understand what I'm saying. But I can't, and so they may listen and say, I don't know which part of this she's referring to, because it could be multiple things. So, and you'll never, and I'll be gone. So
we can't ever make you explain.
Maybe I'll have to write, I'll send in a statement. I'll write a letter that you can open after you see the match.
Great.
I'll be here tomorrow, so.
You will I be can here explain
tomorrow.
Maybe we'll make you, like, record, like, just like a little 30-second thing, and we'll just stick it in the pot.
Okay, I can do that. And everyone's going to be like, I didn't want that explained to me, and it wasn't interesting. But you, once again, tomorrow, like, you will understand what is going on with me right now. Okay, so that's all. So I hope they beat the Dustbusters, and I hope they beat House of Black, and I hope they win the whole thing, and I hope people love my sons, the Young Bucks. I hope that people, like, realize, like, yeah, like, the Young Bucks are, like, some of the most important men in the world, and so precious, like Fabergé eggs. But, like, durable, but fragile, and important, and priceless, and irreplaceable.
Yeah.
And you don't know what you got till it's gone.
Mouthpieces.
They're beautiful mouthpieces. Mm-hmm. Is that every... I mean, we can't talk about Madison Rain. We don't have the time, and I don't have the energy. We met Madison Rain. She made no impression on us. That's what I'll say. I'm sorry. I hope she's doing a really good job as a backstage leader. Hope she's leading the women. I hope she's choreographing. I hope she's great at her job.
All the best to her and her family.
All the best. All of our traditional best to her and her family. She has not made us happy yet. Is that okay to say?
That's okay. Yeah.
She hasn't pleased us in any particular way.
Her match on Rampage was the one where I was like, this might as well be a different show in a different company. I don't even know what I'm watching. New people everywhere.
We don't know those people.
I don't know
her. And that scares us.
I've learned so many men and women over the past.
What? I don't know. Just this
face. I keep getting called out for having like a listening face, like a polite, like I'm listening to my co-host discourse.
It's a very unclear face. It's very unclear what's going on in that beautiful.
Was it because brain. I was petting my chin with an eyeglass cleaner?
Yes, it was. Like, it was a little bit because of that. Is that okay? Does that feel okay?
Okay. Are we gonna do like a 20-minute section on like Aaron Solo next?
You want to?
A little bit.
You want to talk about Aaron? You like Aaron? Hey, you like Aaron?
Yeah, you're an
Aaron girly now?
I'm
a factory's soloist. Back, baby.
We saw a lot of stuff of here. This week. Yo, we you think we have to? Oh, you don't think this is good? You don't think this is good radio? Not good radio. Okay. I'm gonna miss you guys. I can't wait to hear your takes from abroad.
In Australia.
I think I'm gonna be right about some stuff. Well, I'm gone.
So all the confident predictions you made about specifics. Yeah.
And I think Anne and I will be doing some slandering, if I had to guess.
Listen, you're going to have to tune in from Australia and just hear the things we've said about
you. There's nothing wrong with placing a bet on every horse in the race. It's not illegal. I don't actually know that that's true. But on that note, don't tell us. I've been Allie.
I've been Anne.
And I've been Leah.
And this is Tunnel Talk. Our show is produced by Marjorie Voinovich. Our theme is by Chris Corkin. You can find us on Twitter at Tunnel Talk Pod, where you can tell me how good my predictions were, via email at tunneltalkpod@gmail.com. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us on whatever app you like listening to podcasts on. And come back next week.